You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
Yeah. 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
I'll do it.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right.
Yeah, I've seen Bigfoot. He's going to the right. He's going into the tree. Man, right, came in that short neck. Yeah.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stifler's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill, and how's everybody out there tonight? Good, I hope. My golly, the weather throughout the nation has just went crazy, hasn't it? I took a look, and, of course, I'm in San Diego, and been really nice out here. But boy, there's a lot of other people out there that are just really going nuts. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The whole darn world is going nuts. The world of Bigfoot. They're getting more calls on that line. I think they're so confused over this weather. It's getting really cold in some areas. And the creatures that didn't come in and migrate are staying where they're at. Hello, George. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Marco Bill?
I'm doing good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go out here to George from New York, and I'd like him to tell us about his experience and encounter experience with a creature.
Yeah,
how are you
that,
doing,
Marco
George?
Bill? I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Y'all out on the West Coast, or you on the East Coast today?
You ain't a kidding. We're in San Diego, you're in New York, and we got people from all over. We got people from Arkansas.
Man, it's been real cold up here today. We had a high about 4 degrees. And
yeah.
The wind was blowing out of the west about 43 miles an hour, man. It was tough.
Well, yeah. And it's affecting, you know, a lot of the sightings are taking place and a lot of the encounters are taking place as a result of the weather changes. I'm getting
a lot
of calls.
Well, I believe it. You know, when them weather systems move in, you know, as I'm a frequent whitetail hunter, you know,
yeah.
When the weather systems move in, you know, that gets the animals moving. And I'm sure that it's the same for, you know, the Bigfoot.
Oh, sure, yeah. And just today I had 5 calls, just today.
No, I believe it. They're out there. You know, I used to be skeptical until I seen this creature. And it was right out behind my house that I seen this creature, and now I am not skeptical. Them things are real. Them Bigfoots are out there.
Well, why don't you tell us what happened and tell us how it happened?
Well, you know what? It was about 6:30 a.m. Me and my friend Mitchell were out in our duck blind down the river, and, you know, we were having a pretty decent day. It was starting to get light out and stuff like that, and then I heard this noise, and you know, it's hard to describe, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it might be a bear, but then I looked over, and I seen this so-called Bigfoot. You know, I call it a creature because I ain't sure what it was.
Sure.
And then I looked over, and, I used to be skeptical about these things until I seen it. And, you know, I get a little bit shivered up when I think about it, but it was probably about 7.5 feet tall. It had long hair. It was matted down. It had long arms. It had long arms, at least down to its knees. And
yep. And
it was, I don't know, darker in color. Like I said, it was 6:30 in the morning. You can't really see a lot in that type of light. But, you know, I looked over, and it was just making all sorts of racket.
It wasn't no bear, George. I'll tell you that.
It wasn't no bear.
No.
I mean, we got frequent bear in this area, and I'm pretty... You know, I'm pretty up to date with the bear activity, and this was not a bear. So,
well, first of all, the bear's arms and paws and things like that are nothing like what you saw, right?
This was a two-legged creature. It walked upright, and, you know, it was walking away from me. I mean, it knew I was there, but, you know, right when I seen this thing, I called you shortly after because, you know, I was kind of worried, you know. Yeah, I've heard noises. You know, I've lived here since 83, and, you know, I've always thought there was something a little weird about these woods out here in Waterford, New York, and I finally seen it.
I know. And now, before that, did you believe in it?
I did not. You know, I always watched that show, Finding Bigfoot, and I looked at it, and I said, these crazy crackers, they know nothing about no Bigfoot. And then I seen them, and I was like, man... This has got to be real.
Yeah, I know. I can understand. And that's the reaction. That's a reaction, George, that we get from everybody. We didn't either when we first started out.
No.
It's
hard to believe that people don't believe in it. But, man, you see a Bigfoot, it's ours hanging down like that. You know, your hair will stand up on the back of your neck. It's a crazy thing.
Sure.
And I tell you what I've been doing. My neighbor, he's got this dog, and I think it might be a pit bull or something. But anyhow, it's been annoying me bad. So what I did was I went over there and I trapped it. And I took him out back, and I covered it in blood, and I hung him upside down. So I'm hoping that maybe I'll track that Bigfoot in.
Uh-huh.
And it seems kind of funny, but you know what? I don't like my neighbors. And that dog is annoying as dear God. So what I did was I hung him up upside down, and I'm hoping that him squealing and the blood on him will track that sucker right in.
Well, now, this was right near your home, right?
This is Waterport, New York. We're right up by Point Breeze. We got the best fishing in the Northeast, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's besides the point, you know. Where I'm after the Bigfoot.
That Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, can you George? Could you describe a little more? Did you, by chance, was there any kind of a footprint around there that you might have seen?
Well, you know, I live up next to the Great Lakes, and we get a lot of snow. So you know, it was just one of them days where it was blowing out of the west real hard, and we were getting, you know, good amounts of snow. But what I did was I tried to find the track, and I could find a good impression, but it was snowing it was snowing so hard that I couldn't really see a footprint. But what I did was I followed it into the woods, and, you know, I think that I might have found a den. I mean, don't quote me on it. I'm not telling you that I did find a den, but I think that I may have.
Oh, you very well may have.
So what I did is I went to go up here. We got a Gander Mountain. It's kind of like, you know, a Dick's or, a sporting outdoor store.
And I bought
like Cabela's or something like that. And what I did was I purchased me a couple of trail cameras, you know, like wild game and stuff like that.
And what
I did was I posted them around the site where I thought that the den may have been. You know, I'm hoping, and then plus, you know, I took my neighbor's dog and I put it out there, just that little sucker, you know, he deserves it. But anyhow, you know, I'm hoping to lure him in because, you know what, I want to be that guy that catches the Bigfoot.
Oh, that'd be good. That would be great.
Because, I've always thought there was some type of creature out there, and I never was sure. But, you know, like I said, when I was out there with my buddy Mitchell and we were hunting, birds, we were just sitting there, man, this shit came out of nowhere, and I didn't know what it was.
Kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it makes your heart tremble a little bit. It
does. Yeah, I know.
And we were sitting there, and, man, I had a 12-gauge shotgun in my hand, you know, and I was still trembling because of the size of this creature.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that everybody seems to happen.
You know what?
Happen.
The only thing that kept me positive was that he was walking the other way.
Yeah, I know. We've had a couple instances, George, where it was coming for them. It was coming through a field a couple times.
You know, Marco Bill, I'm getting shivers just thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, we had a guy in Florida, probably about a few months back, and this didn't happen like recently. This happened. He had one of those, diggers way back in there. They dig the ground
like a black boat excavator.
Yeah. And he was running that, and it was real late, and they go on shifts, right? And he had the late shift, and he was getting off, getting paid out the ass for nothing. Yeah, he was getting up, getting off at midnight, and he noticed a bunch of these, not one, but several of these kinds of creatures that, you know, they have these lights all around, but way back in the corner of the swamp area there, they had it. They were sitting on these stumps watching, and he noticed them, but at first he thought they were just, you know, maybe people or homeless people or somebody out there or, you know, something.
Well,
and they were watching,
you know what the crazy thing is, Marco Bill? They're almost human-like, except they're a little bit chunkier and they got a lot more hair. And their arms are longer. Their arms hang down damn near to their knees there.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it was walking into the thicket there and I didn't get a good look at it, but I'll tell
you. He had one come off the stump.
Tango with that creature.
Well, he had a 12 gauge that he just carried with him, and he was waiting.
That's what I was doing. I was out there just bird up in there, and I was sitting in the blind, and you know, I felt somewhat safe until that sucker walked up.
Oh, I know.
You know, like I said, Marco Bill, I knew that sucker was out there. You know, sometimes in the summertime when I was sitting out there having a cold Bud Light, listening to some tunes, you know, like Conway Twitty or something like that.
Yeah.
You know. Anything like that, and I would hear, you know, like I talked to you before, tree knocking.
Yep.
But that put the nail in the hammer because I didn't know what it was, and I would just sit there and wonder. But now I know, and you know, this has shed a lot of light on my situation. There's gotta be a Squatch in my woods, New York. There's gotta be, and I ain't bullshitting you, man.
No. I know you're not. In fact, there's probably more than one. They usually hang around in family pods, so they don't usually go alone.
And I got a little border collie dog and a chocolate lab dog, and you know I like my dogs, man. I don't want to squatch in my woods.
Yeah, your neighbor's dog, though. That dog.
But that little pit bull there, my neighbor dog, man, I hung that sucker upside down and pour some blood on it, let her squeal. Hopefully, lure that sucker in, man. I got trail cameras out there. I'm fixing to kill that some gun.
Well, we've had we've had instances where these things have, they do attack the dogs and the cats and the raccoons and other smaller animals as well. As a matter of skunks, too. Actually, in Arizona last year, we had one that actually got a skunk inside of one of those, you know, they have these sprinkler tubes out there for irrigation. Irrigation tubes are about 8 inches around, right? And he punched a hole in either side of this thing, and they grabbed the skunk, and there's blood and skin and everything all over the damn thing, and he ripped the skunk out, and he ripped the glands, the skunk glands, you know, the stink glands out of the skunk. And we tried to figure out what the hell he did that for, but that's what happened.
Man, I'll tell you what, man, them Bigfoot, you know, I don't know if they're vicious or they're teddy bears or what they is, but you know what, I ain't going to be friendly with them because they ain't friendly with me.
Well, they don't normally, usually, we've had not very many instances where these things have ever even hurt anybody, but or tried to. They normally are very shy. They, you know, they're curious. They'll come around close to watch, but they keep their distance and usually take off. In a couple of instances, we've had them where they've charged, but they didn't do anything. They just charged to scare, you know, people away, type of thing,
hey,
right?
Mark Bill, I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
If we've had all these Bigfoot instances, then how come one cracker ain't shot one of these Bigfoot and kept that and preserved it and hadn't been on the damn news?
Well, we did. We 10 years ago. In fact, the gentleman's on our show tonight. 10 years ago, he was attacked by one. He's one of the
really?
Very few people that, yes, but it wasn't, when we say, now, George, when we say Bigfoot, there's several different species, right? We just call them all the same because we don't know the differences. And this was a different one. This is what this was classified as a billy ape, through the UC Davis over here in California, the foremost veterinary, but it's a 6 foot one and a 6 foot pig. And it took a hold of him. And, he had a 50 caliber. He had a 50 caliber pistol, and he put 4 50 caliber slugs into his chest, and it kept right on coming, and it grabbed him, and it squeezed the hell out of him. He took his K bar out of his holster and stabbed it in the jugular vein about several times. And the thing threw him about 25 feet and then took off running. And, of course, it didn't survive very long. It bled to death right in the path.
Hey, Mark Bill, I got a quick question for you. You said this man is going to be on the radio tonight.
He's
on. Is
there
any way that I could speak with him, compare similarities?
Absolutely.
Share
story,
see if I can shed any light on my, you know, running, encounter, stuff like that.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely. At the end of the show, we have a 10-minute period, and the 10-minute period is for everybody to get together and talk about their stories, and you can certainly talk to him. His name is Rocky, and he'll be on there. In fact, he's going to be on. He'll be the last guest on the show tonight.
Where is he from?
Arkansas.
Because I want to see it. Arkansas, okay, you know, East Coast sort of, Southern East Coast, something like that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there are instances that happen. He took pictures and he took, samples of hair and everything.
It'd be nice to compare stories because, you know, I feel like I'm coming on here acting like I'm all crazy and stuff, seeing a Bigfoot. But, man, let me tell you what, when I was on my duck blind yesterday with my buddy Mitchell, it was not a joke.
No, I understand totally. And so everybody else that's on the show tonight, because everybody that's been on the show has had an encounter. And some of them are regulars that come on the show.
How do I listen to these people? You know,
say
I'm
again?
Talking to you right now, but how do I listen to the other encounters to compare stories? I want to see if I'm even similar.
Right now. You're going to stay on right here, and you can listen to them right here.
No kidding, man. This internet interweb thing is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. You're going to stay right on. I'll just mute you out, and you'll be able to hear everything.
Well, man, that'd be great.
Sure.
And no, it's good to shed light on my story. You know, I'm from Waterport, New York. It's a small community. I know everybody. Everyone know me. And, you know, these goddamn Bigfoot, where it is, man, they're causing problems. You know, they tear a couple beaver dams down the road. You know, and that used to be my swimming hole. I used to go up there and take a bath in the summer, and man, that shit all run out now. I think from the damn Bigfoot.
Yes. Well, actually, last week, we have a young guy. He's about 13 years old, and he's from from Alabama, or no, from Pennsylvania. And he, about two or three weeks ago, he had an encounter. He was out deer hunting. No, he wasn't.
No,
he was he was between his grandmother's house and his house. It's a small little patch of woods, and he had an encounter with one of those big creatures, and it just took off, and he took off home, and he's had three or four.
Well, I think Bigfoot are a pretty smart creature because they've invaded the human population for this long, and you know what? I've caught sight of them. I'm going to get that sucker. Hopefully that little dog of my neighbor's, you know, brings in some good trap, man. I'm going to get some.
Okay. I'll tell you what. What I want to do is I want to thank you. George, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
I want to thank you for answering my phone call and letting me know that I ain't no damn crazy.
No, you're not. We have a lot of people on tonight. You're going to be able to listen to them all. Each one's going to give they're from different parts of the country. Arizona. Yeah. Arizona, all over. Arkansas.
Perfect.
Virginia is all over. In fact, George, I have one individual who didn't come on tonight, but he's from New York as well, and what he wanted me to do is give you his telephone number so you could call him.
Perfect.
And if you don't mind, after the show,
I'll give him a shout right now.
Well, what I'll do is after the show, I'll call you and give you his number, and then you can give him a call tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you for coming on. I'm going to mute you out. You're going to be able to listen to everything that's going on, okay?
Perfect.
And then at the end of the show, we're going to open it up for everybody, and we'll put everybody on there, including you, and you can ask Rocky anything you want or any of the other folks that we have here.
That sounds like a hell of a deal, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much, George, for coming on.
Marco Bill, you're my savior. You're the man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Here we go. I want to mute you out now. We've got to go to a commercial. We'll be right back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was George from New York. Now we're going to go to a little bit of a commercial here, and we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and it's available in our course. And one other thing I'd like to put out there to everybody, you know, we have we have hats, T-shirts, jackets, belt buckles. We have all different kinds of things, and we have a little store online. And, you know, later on, Rocky and Sweet are going to be on here to talk about an excursion that they made, and of course they wear their T-shirt and their hat, and everybody wants to get one. And what I thought I'd do tonight is just put it out there. It's real easy. All you got to do is go www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. If you go to shoppingforbigfoot.com, it'll take you right to our little store, and you can take a look in there, and they've got the movies, and they've got and all kinds of stuff, mugs and anything you can think of. But if you want to take a look at it, and they got T-shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff, just go take a look if you're interested. And if you wanted to try to get one, you can just order it and it'll get to you here in a quick amount of time. Tom tries to make sure that everybody makes an order, that it gets out there right away. So anyway, here we go. We're going to go back here, and we're going to go to Four Corners, New Mexico, to our good friend Dave. Dave, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay there, Marco Bill.
You're feeling a little better, huh?
Yeah, I had a pretty ongoing flu there for a while, and it's turned into a cold, but yeah, I'm definitely recovering. I took some sunset pictures this evening, and that must be a sign I'm getting better.
That's good. Well, tell us what's going on in your area today.
Yeah.
In the last couple weeks here.
Yeah. Lately, we've been getting reports of young Bigfoots being observed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The local Navajo people are telling me this. Had a real good report about 3 weeks ago. There was one sighted by a young woman. Or no, excuse me, she was an older woman, and a younger woman told me about this. And I think it might have been her mother that had seen it. And it was like just at sunset. And what she saw, she thought it was a chimpanzee. It was only about 3 foot tall.
Right.
And it did stand briefly, but it was basically playing in the grass. She couldn't see its face. I guess it never turned toward her, but it was actually pulling dried grass out of the ground and eating it. And
oh, my gosh.
But it was basically acting like a little chimpanzee, just kind of tumbling around and, you know, playing around in the grass. And this lady decided to get a little closer to it, and because it didn't seem to be no threat, you know, at that height. And it was reddish-brown, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And finally got, I think, within 15 feet of it, got pretty close. All of a sudden, it started emanating that stink that,
right,
you know, just started smelling horribly. And then she started getting a sense of fear after that. It seemed like it just coincided with that smell. So she quickly backed out, and then that little chimp went into the Russian olive bushes. And this is really close to the river nearby, too.
Yeah. And yeah, you get lost in there pretty easy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty thick.
Yeah, and then to top it off, this Russian olive has needles. They're anywhere from 2 to 3 inches long. And, you know, if a regular human were to crash right through it, you would get pretty scratched up, even injured by these.
Well, I know. Remember when you guys took the pictures, you and JC and a whole bunch of guys went out there to that island and took doing a canoe thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when you went through that area, that whole area was full of that.
Yeah, it was a rough one. Recommended not to take good clothes in there. You know, tough clothes, but nothing.
Yeah, right.
They'll be shredded. And we did get another report from another person. This was more vague. I Brenda told me about this one, too. There was another one sighted down the river a little farther away, deeper into the reservation. It was a young one. So we're wondering if maybe this is, you know, the early part of the winter or even late fall, if maybe that's when they're when they're conceiving their kids, you know. Well,
I wonder, yeah.
Yeah, when they're having birth.
Well, you know, just last week we had a Christian. He's a young 13-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And previous couple weeks before that, he had an encounter with a big, you know, with a very large one, about, you know, 8-9 foot.
Mm-hmm.
But this past week, he said he had an encounter with a little, looked like about 3 foot, you know, 3 feet, but it was real wide, but it was 3 feet, and it was walking on two legs and running and all that. And he's, you know, of course it scared him again, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I also had several calls this past week here.
Uh-huh.
Of other people who have seen smaller versions of these things. Whether they're the, you know, infant or juvenile type, you know, small little children kind, or whether it's a different species, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really amazing.
It is. I'd sure like to see one.
You know, Anthony, now that's what Anthony saw.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he had his encounter, and it was a small one.
Okay.
Of course, he had a big footprint. But he saw this, you know, when he saw his, it was a small one as well. So, you know, there's quite a few people that have encounters with these small creatures.
Yes.
And so it's not uncommon. It's pretty...
Right.
It's pretty neat. Is there anything else that Brenda's been working on?
Well, we've both been talking about that there's been this family down south of Gallup that's been having a lot of problems with Bigfoot, too. I think even JC even checked that out. He was the original person, and then Brenda went out there, and there's a family, a Navajo family, that actually lives towards Shiprock, but they own land, you know, south of Shiprock, south of Gallup, in a big ranch there, and they're having a lot of their sheep and livestock in general is just being torn apart, murdered. It looks like some of it is used for food, but not all of it. You know, it's just malicious destruction to their economies, to their animals. And I think Brenda was kind of hinting that she wanted to go back down there. It slowed down for a while, and now it came back, during the winter time. So it's probably getting hungry or some similar, and wanting to, you know, do destruction to this family's lifestyle.
Well, I think, you know, the weather this past, this winter has really been horrible. And as I told you, we've talked about this before, but basically there's a migration pattern that these creatures use. We know they migrate, but there's a lot of them that don't. And they'll stay, and if the area has plenty of food, water, and shelter, they'll stay and you know, stay out the winter. And if it's not too, you know, in a too desperate cold place, and has food available in the wintertime, then they'll stay in that area.
Yeah.
But in the past, this gigantic change that they've had here—the cold freeze and all that.
Yeah.
You won't believe how many calls I got where these creatures are coming down. They're not out there in the middle of the nowhere. They're right down there next to the houses. And footprints, a lady from Rhode Island called me yesterday, and she's got footprints going right up to her door. You know, and she took pictures of them and sent them to me.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple other people that had the encounters were right there, right out in their backyard. And a garbage can. It appears that they're probably getting hungry, and they're cold, and they're also looking for shelter. And, you know, garages and or little sheds and things are ideal places for these things to probably, you know,
be able to
do that.
Yeah, we've been on the exact opposite. We've had the cold, which is just normal during this time of year. We have not had any storms right here in the immediate Four Corners for over 40 days.
Wow.
We're finally getting our storm starting tomorrow, finally.
I
was taking pictures of the sunset because it finally had, you know, the reds that I was looking for. But it's been very amazing that, everybody else has been getting storms. This has probably affected even San Diego, this high pressure, too, where it's just been clear every day. So, but it's starting to break down. So, you know, maybe we'll be getting the weather. Maybe the rest of the country will ease off. I hope so. We love snow here. We'll take everything we can get, you know.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat, though. I mean, normally in the summertime, you guys have a lot of activity because of all the fields and corn and other vegetables and fruit trees and other things. Of course, you know, they've had that little preserve that they started up there on the mountain where they grew all kinds of trees and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That seemed to be coming along pretty good. And they have that's keeping on growing and growing and growing. So they have a lot of stuff out there for those creatures to feed on.
The patterns, though, as far as the frequency of sightings and just, you know, observations of foot tracks, impressions and things on the ground, it used to be, the Navajos used to tell me, like, in the 1990s, they come around every 3 or 5 years. We see them here and there. We don't see them that much. Nowadays, and especially seemed like through the mid-2000s, it just seemed like every year they started. It went from, like, 5 years to 3 years to 2 years to... Like, it doesn't seem there's a border anymore. It seems like they're around every time of the year now.
Well, this year has been crazy. I mean, we've got more calls in the past year here than ever. I mean, man, it's just, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, this yesterday I had, four calls?
Yeah.
All within about a 4 or 5 hour period.
Yeah. I think in the continental United States here, there's not very many places left where people are not seeing Bigfoot anymore, you know?
I had one guy from... Tennessee, and I guess they were out in the woods, and they heard a bellow and a noise of a calf from the barn.
Oh.
And so they went towards the barn, and here this creature was trying to take the calf, and as soon as the creature seen them, he let the calf go and took off running into the woods. So it was something else. I couldn't believe it.
Of a little lean veal there, huh?
Yeah, well, good gosh, I tell you. And so there's a lot of different, different things that happen. And
absolutely.
And it doesn't seem like there's any specific areas that are, it's from all over. Tyrone was going to be on tonight, and I don't know what happened to him, but, he's on the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi. And he had a couple of things that happened in the last 3 weeks here where, they had people, more than one, several people with encounters with these creatures. And so they, and before, they had him, remember, he relayed the story of his sister, his niece, where they saw the creature carrying a deer on its back and running like heck, which is amazing. You can run with a deer on your, hold the deer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of reports about sheep, being carried that way. Just over while they're still alive, it's kind of sad, we don't want to see stuff.
I know, and deer, the one in Alabama there about a couple of years ago where, Chuck Creel, they went out there and they found that deer with the horn just ripped out of its head.
Yeah.
And the brains were exposed. And then the other one, the neck was broke, and the actual skin had been ripped off of the body and piled up. Jeez. And they didn't use a knife. It was all skinned by hand. Tore off. I said, man.
Yeah.
So.
And the trees I've seen manipulated just north of here, a little over an hour away, the power that it must take to manipulate those trees that probably weigh at least 2 tons and 50 foot long, these aspen trees.
Oh, yeah.
It tells me that their strength is so immense, I wouldn't really want to deal with them if they got angry.
I understand totally, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It's we've had several instances where we've had people on the last month or so where they've relayed the creatures have shaken a tree. Remember that guy that was in the Army on his field maneuvers and were on navigation maneuvers, right?
Uh-huh.
And him and his guy that was with him, and they all of a sudden the tree started shaking, and I looked over, and here's this big creature shaking the tree.
Whoa.
And the tree is really moving.
Yeah, quite a shocker.
Yeah, right. And, of course, we've had a couple other people, some time ago, where they, this one guy had a, down by the river, and he was driving a station wagon at night, and they seen this creature. And they backed the station wagon up and going to take off, and the creature picked up this great big log and threw it at him, and the back of the log hit the back of the tailgate on the trailer, or on the station wagon, and, of course, just about moved the car.
Oh.
And they took off and didn't stop. They came back the next day, and he tried to lift that log. It was a waterlogged log, and he couldn't lift it. And he was like 300 pounds, 6'6", big guy, and he couldn't lift it. And this thing just picked it up and threw it.
Whoa.
So it gives you an idea of how powerful they are.
Yeah. There's something I relate to earlier. I hadn't been on the show as often lately. Been real busy. But remember I had told you, I think it was back in early December, November, I had a handprint on my vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had pictures of that. I think I sent them to you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, there's a little follow-up on that.
Yeah.
I noticed that on the back of my Explorer vehicle, the Ford emblem, right on the sides of it, I was washing it while it was a little bit warmer, and I noticed that there were crack marks on the side of the Ford emblem, and I took pictures of it. They weren't there. I didn't see them for a long time, and just recently, and I'm kind of surmising that this thing may have actually pushed its hand into the bump that I felt after I took off after taking pictures that one night.
Yeah.
I think that thing may have pushed into that Ford emblem, which is, the back hatch door, and it might have pushed it there because I kept thinking, how could it push my glass and not break it, with that thump that I had, And I think
right.
That's maybe where it happened, and it put some stress marks on the paint. I put some fingernail polish, some clear stuff to keep it from traveling, but I think it that was where the main push was right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I hope you know, hope it didn't damage my paint any longer now. So, but at least like it's just a theory, or just a thought. But I have a feeling that's where it pushed it, because those cracks were not there during that time. I washed my vehicle by hand quite a bit.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I mean, you notice those kinds of things. People do.
Yeah. So my first it was a more eerie encounter after the fact, days later when
sure.
I found the handprint. But it wasn't really scary during that time. I knew there was something in the oak brush that was shuffling around and while I was taking pictures of the moon that night. But I really didn't want to know what it was. I forgot my pistol and stuff, so I was like, well, I get these pictures and get the hell out of here, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that was probably about between 80 to 100 feet away. It wasn't too far.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I have a feeling that those creatures do, well, they're in the Lukachukai Mountains anyway, so there's a lot of reports up there. But during that time, there's a lot of tourists and travelers that pass through there, and there's a picnic ground on top of that. Lukachukai is on the paved road called Buffalo Pass. And I have a feeling, actually, I was there earlier that day, and I found some trash. I saw trash that was there, you know, from fast food and things. I believe they hang out there to pick up remnants of that food. So
wow.
that may be a pretty good area to, you know, check out during the summer, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. You're going to stay till the end, right?
Yeah, sure will, Marco Bill.
Super. Okay. We'll go on and see Anthony and see what he's got to say.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, and we'll see you a little bit later on the show.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Marco Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. Next, we're going to go out here to Virginia to Anthony. Anthony, how are you?
All right. Hope you're doing well then, Marco Bill.
Well, you know, Anthony, you sent me some footprints and stuff that from the snow, and I've got them posted. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go up on www.bigfootlive.com and you select on the table of contents side of the page on the left-hand side, select what's on this week. You go to that page, and you're going to see underneath the guests, you'll see Anthony from Virginia. And under that, you're going to see a slideshow and two slideshows. Actually, one is from this week, which says footprints, and the other one is basically tree formations and footprints. So, Anthony, tell us what's going on.
Well, once again, it's another location not far away from where I've been several times before. And, you know, so it looks like they're definitely taking a different path. But this particular area here, I was contacted to, you know, as to what was going on. And these pictures there, they're actually not my pictures, but they've been, you know, they were sent to me. And so I just forwarded it on to you.
Sure.
But, and so... again, this is the first time that the prints have been noticed in that area, but I guess what had helped was the snow recently, you know, and when it started to melt on one of the warmer days there, then, you know, this is what was exposed. And so there have been past sightings in this area before. I know everybody wouldn't know exactly where it is if I described it, you know, especially to your listeners, but I will say that these prints were not taken far away from the location where I'll say they're in the same county. If you remember that guy that he saw them swinging.
Yeah.
He's yeah. So
yes,
it's
sir.
Far from there. And so we see that, you know, the kind of, you know, not looking at the prints, we don't know if there was more than one or if it's the same one just turning around or, you know, what have you. But we do, you know, find it kind of interesting that they, hey, here they are. And if you look in the bottom left, you know, those are my friend's footprints there. You know, you can see there's the outline of a sneaker. And
yeah.
Which
well, I've seen the outline of, I've seen boot print on that you just said to compare. And significantly, the footprints are significantly larger than the boot print put together.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's hard, you know, when the snow is iced over and you don't get it, it's not a fresh, clear print, it's a couple days old. It's difficult, but you can tell that it's a footprint.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and it's not a little one either.
No, pretty good size.
Yeah. And so when I saw those prints there, you know, I did believe that at least three or four of those footprints there, that just the area. So it was definitely something. And, you know, like you and I, we'll walk through something, you know, and snow melting and, you know, what have you. You know, it's gone. Here this thing was, you know, quite an impression because it was still around.
Right over
Jerry. Hey, George, I'm going to, George, I got to meet you out because the other guest is on in your
Man, I've been sitting here for damn near 30 minutes, man. I was going to chat with you guys. I feel like
I'm... Oh, no, we're going to. We got one more guest. We got Rocky to come on. They're going to give their story. And at about 8 o'clock time frame, or about 10 o'clock your time, that's when we start the open.
It's already 10:47 here, man. You mean 11
o'clock? No, I know. It goes from 10 to 11 for you. And at 11 o'clock your time, around that time, that's when we're going to start the open thing for about 10-15 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what, how much time I got, because I'm going to go by and check that dog. I got to hang out there with my neighbors to see if she got eaten up yet or not.
You got about 15 minutes.
Well, shall I run out there with my snow machine and check her out?
Well, let's go, George. God damn. Okay.
15 minutes, man. I want to start her up, warm her up. I want to rip out there. It's only about 300 yards. I'm going to check her out.
Okay. We'll see you then.
Okay, stay online or what?
You can stay online if you want. I got to meet you out, though, okay?
Or are you going to call me back?
No, I can't call you. You got to call in.
Well, I'll stay online. Man, I'm going to head over there to the machine and I'm going to see where I can find.
Okay.
We'll be back.
All right, Mark, I'll see you in about 50 minutes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes.
Okay, Anthony, I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. So, there's definitely activity even in the freezing cold weather. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's still some snow on the ground over here from last night. So, I'm hoping that we'll be able to see some more. But as of this moment, there haven't been any new tracks. But, like I said, there's still snow on the ground in certain areas, and hopefully we'll be able to see something.
Super. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. You're going to stay here till the end, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're going to have Rocky and Sweet on next, and then we'll go into our little open session.
All righty.
Thank you so much for coming on, Anthony, and thanks for the picture.
You're welcome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Anthony from Virginia, and now we're going to go out here to our good friend Rocky and Sweet. Rocky and Sweet, how are you tonight?
Doing good.
Well, guys, why don't you tell us about the great excursion?
Well, I guess it's Saturday. Me and Swede was on our way down to Alma to a little outdoor shop. Going to see if there's any kind of neat stuff that we couldn't live without, but we got down to Mountainburg and got the idea that instead of going to the gun store, that we was going to drive over by Calico Rock, and we're trying to figure out the approximate mileage that we're fixing to do our walk in August.
Right.
And it was 174 miles over there. Swede?
Yeah.
Okay, I just making sure you weren't asleep. I didn't hear you snoring, but anyhow, it's about 174?
Yeah, somewhere out there, right in there, yeah.
Okay, anyhow, we got over there. We didn't want to hang around Calico Rock very, very long because that's where prison is, and we don't like to hang around those places, so. Anyhow, we started back. We decided we'd take some dirt roads, and while we was driving around on the dirt roads, we stopped and just started visiting with folks once we got down in the National Forest. We got run off by one old boy with a shotgun, but we only got run off once, so it was okay. But we got to a little place called Persimmon Holler, way down in. We met an older couple named, well, his name was Eustace and his wife was Mary Beth. We stopped and talked to them for a little while, and they were interested in my Searching for Bigfoot t-shirt and the Swedes Searching for Bigfoot baseball cap. And we started talking to them about, you know, anything, you know, any kind of weird goings on there. And Mary Beth, one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet, she said that she was coming home from church one Wednesday night, and she turned into her driveway. They live a long ways from any paved road, but she turned into her driveway, and over on the south side of their land, they had a 55-gallon drum that they burned trash in.
Right.
Said the headlights hit something that was, she said, she called it a big hairy man. She said it's a great old big thing. Said all covered, looked like it was all black, said all covered with hair. And when she jammed the brakes on, she said the headlights weren't turned directly on it. But she said she could still see it real good. And so she said the passenger side window was down, so she started yelling at Eustace and told him to get out there and bring his gun. Well, by the time Eustace got out there, they're in their late 80s, their early 80s now. Anyhow, by the time Eustace got out there, everything was gone. He turned his big spotlight on out there, and he didn't see anything, but she got in the house, and he said for the first time since they'd been married, they actually locked the door at the house while they were at home. Anyhow, he got out. He said he got up the next morning, and he went out there, and their burn barrel, their trash barrel was turned over, and trash was kind of scattered. And he said that he saw where something had walked off down the way, and anyhow, I asked Mary Beth if there was any possibility that, you know, it might have been a bear. And she gave me one of those looks and told me, and she informed me that she knew a bear when she saw it, but that wasn't no bear. But that was about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, she was still a young 70-something years old then. But they told us we could come back anytime we wanted to and, you know, come and check it all out. Like I say, sweet people, they invited to stay and eat with them, but we were on a mission, so we went on. Like I say, they were living in Persimmon Holler, and that's not a town. That's just barely a place. That's just
what
a holler.
Called it. That's what they called it.
Yeah. Lots of persimmon trees, but
lots of persimmon trees around there, I guess.
But anyhow, she was. She said that there was no doubt in her mind that that wasn't no bear. There was no doubt in her mind that that was something that she had never seen before. And she said that Eustace, ever since then, left shotgun leaned up beside the door. So. Anyhow, that was one of the
nicer folks.
That was one of the tales that we heard down there, and these people come across to me to be just about as credible as anybody I've ever talked to.
Sure.
But that's going to be one of our stops when we do our walk.
It's going to be quite a walk, 174 miles.
yeah, that's the short route.
Yeah, I know. That's the short route. The route that you're going to take is probably going to be a little longer.
Yeah, I know it's going to be a little bit more rough terrain from what we saw.
Right.
Hey, Sway, tell them about the Tater Bend boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Down Lightning Ridge.
We come on around the road there a little ways. We saw several folks Saturday. It was cold, but there was folks out and about, you know. It was warmer than it's been. There was people out stirring. We saw some people, and every time we'd see somebody, we'd stop and visit. But anyway, we went by two or three of them that, you know, wasn't all no big deal or nothing much to say. And anyway, we come around there and we seen this little old shack. It looked like something from way back. And Rocky said, "Oh, that's just a shack." And I said, "Man, look at the yard. It's all, I mean, you know, look at how that's kept up around there." I said, "There's somebody about that time, this little old man come walking around the corner of that building there looking." And we whooped it up in there, and I thought it might be one of those deals where there might be another shotgun involved there for a brief moment. Of course, Rocky kept my door towards him. But we pulled up in there and got out and visited with this guy, and we just told him, you know, kind of what we were doing, and told him we was going to walk from Calico Rock to Mount Burr to the National Forest, and he kind of gave us one of those, "Whoa, that's going to be a long walk. When are you going to do it?" And we told him in August, and he said, "Whoa, that's going to be hot." He said, "Whoa," quite a bit. But anyway, he got to looking at the Rocky's T-shirt there and the Bigfoot thing. We'd brought it up, and he didn't call it a Bigfoot, but he told us that he said that we'd asked him if he'd had or ever had any kind of an encounter of any kind like that. And he said, "Oh, it'd been some years back, not too awful long, because he still had the dogs, but I guess it's 3 or 4 years ago." He said that one evening the dogs was raising Cain, and he stepped out on the porch. Now, when I talk about stepping out on the porch, Marco, I'm talking about a one-room building. That's what he lived
right.
in.
Right. Small.
Small one-room building with a porch on it, and the kitchen was off the back of it in a screen. In a screened-in porch room was where the kitchen was.
Wow.
Outside. And a wood stove, heat cooking stove. Anyway, he said the dogs were raising Cain, and he stepped out there to see what was going on, and he said he looked out there. He's got a little old outbuilding out there, little old barnish outbuilding there. It's got a Tater Bend in it, and it's about as big as his, bigger than his house. But anyway, he said there was a big, he called it Big and Hairy. He said it's Big and Hairy, and it's standing at the corner, and it pulled the two oak boards off the corner of that Tater Bend. Up high. Now, this is up off of the ground. He pulled them one by eight, you know, this old rough sawn oak. Stuff nailed on green, you couldn't pry it off with a chainsaw or a pry bar, hardly. And he pulled two boards off and was gathering them sweet potatoes up out of that Tater Bend and had an armful of them. And he looked at him, and it looked back at him, and he was trying to hiss his dogs on it, and the dogs wouldn't get on it. And he's, whatever that little Walker dog, what was that thing, Rocky?
He said it was half tree and Walker and half blue tick.
Yeah, it had its hair up the whole time we was there looking. It never took its eyes off. I thought it was going to try to get us there two or three times. And he had a big long-haired dog there set up on the porch, and it looked like it if you turned your back on it, it'd be on. But he said that them dogs would not get after it. He said he tried to hiss his dogs on it, and he said that them dogs had jumped on everything in the woods, but it wouldn't go after that.
Wow.
Was carrying them sweet potatoes, had an armful of them and took off, and said he keeps his gun on the, he said he keeps his gun close hand there too now. And he said he hadn't had anything else happen, but he said it was like something that he'd never seen before. About stopping over there, and he told us we could come by his place. There was a spring down around the way down there. He's up on the ridge. He called it Lightning Ridge, a big old oak tree up there in that field on the But he said it had been struck time after time after time, and it had never killed it. And that's what he called the place there, Lightning Ridge.
Wow.
Down in the holler down there below, down off in the valley there, that he said there was a good spring down there, and he said that we could stay there, we could camp there, you know, and he said there was good water and all that. So that's a spot on our map that we're going to try to, maybe, whether or not it's in timely or not, we'll probably stop there and maybe have a cup of coffee with him or whatever and stay the night or whatever we're going to do there.
But, well, I think if you guys are giving good, that's what you call good foraging ahead of time.
Yeah,
I
think
you guys are going to be all set.
We need to get
Should we open this up to the main, to all the people?
Sure.
Sure.
I think got a guy dying to ask Rocky a question.
Sure.
I got Swede, I got Rocky, I got Dave, I got Anthony, and I got George. George, are you there?
George.
Yeah, George?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Rocky's on here, and if you'd like to ask him a question, go right ahead, my friend.
Well, Rocky, wait, are you the man that got attacked by a fox?
Let's just say I had a pretty physical encounter with him, yeah.
Well, no kidding. Well, let me just ask you a few things. What did he look like from, say, the shoulders upwards? Because I got a pretty good idea of what I seen now. I want to compare it to.
You know, I wasn't able to see. It was real late at night, and the only time that I actually got to see anything was just a flash with the flashlight. And,
well, you sure it wasn't a bear, big guy.
Oh, no, it sure as hell wasn't no bear. But,
Well, that was my first thought, too. You know, I was sitting on my duck blind, and, you know, we got a fair share of ducks coming in, so, I'm pretty preoccupied anyhow. And I seen this squash, man, it head down into the holler faster, not get a good shot at it. But, man, it had long arms, and it had a real stubborn neck, you know, matted down hair on its head. But, you know, I got a good visual of its, you know, his upper torso, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because I want to compare.
No, it definitely wasn't a bear. It was, we've got quite a few bears in our area.
Where are you from?
Y'all got big black bears?
Yeah, we got black bears.
Big black bear, I'm talking about. We got big black bear out here. I know how big black bear you got down there.
No, we don't. They don't get all that big around here.
Yeah, we got big black bear down here. That's why we're all skeptical about how big y'all talking about down there. You can mistake them for sloths down here. We don't know.
No, we don't have black bears, and I think if that had been a black bear, I wouldn't have come out as well as I did.
Absolutely, man. I do a lot of hunting fair share myself. You know, I like to hunt beavers and you know, squirrel and ducks. Like I said, I was in my duck blind when I was out there, and I was sitting there squash. But like I said, you know, my neighbor's dog was pissing me off. So what?
Well,
you need to
go turn that dog loose. Pit bull's too good a dog to be doing that way.
That pit bull, man. You know, I used to have a good mice cat. You know, I named it Jerry. But anyhow, that little pit bull, man, ran over here and tore that little fucker to shreds. You know, I got revenge on it. Some pit bull are all right, but that little pit bull, man, it was no good. So you know what I did? I hung it upside down, pour blood all over it, and I let her hang.
Well, I don't know. If I think I'd just go ahead and go back hunting and leave the dog alone. He probably loves his dog.
He didn't know that dog. Dog name was Rocky. That dog needs to be hung.
That dog Rocky, you know, I think
dog's dead now. He ain't got to worry about that dog.
I think, it ain't dead. You know, it's hanging out there. I went and checked out my snow machine.
Dog's dead, dog.
But, you know, I think that dog might have been half black because of the way it acted.
That dog's dead.
That dog's dead right now. Well, that's beside the point, man. I see a spider up here, you know, Whiteford, New York, man. You know, it kind of scared me. You know, it's sending little shivers up my neck. So, you know, I don't know how to get at it. You know, it ain't like you put a man trap out there. You know, it ain't that way. So that's the way that I decided to, you know, go about it.
Okay.
Why, do you think that I'm maybe out of the way that I should have done it?
I didn't find the spot was the main thing, man.
Why, do you think, I mean, y'all acting like that I'm...
If you're wanting to draw it back up, you'll do a lot better with sweet taters and apples.
What, to draw a squash? You say I'll do better with sweet taters?
You bet.
Then a prime dog?
Say what?
Dude, I kill rabbits for a living. You know, you get good money for that little pelt there. So what I did was I put a bunch of blood in a mason jar and I poured it on the dog.
Well, that dog
upside down, it's at least 8 foot in the air. That thing's squealing. And for mercy with blood, that's going to draw any squatch in the county.
What? Yeah, that sounds like something to be proud of.
No, I ain't proud of it. I'm just trying to, you know, catch a squatch, man, because I feel that there is a squatch in my woods.
Well, you know, I can't really discuss that to a dog. We're talking about Bigfoot, not dogs.
Well, you know, I'd like all dogs, but them pit bulls, they're shit dogs. They ain't even be considered dogs, I don't think. They're more of a ferocious animal.
Yeah.
You know, you got like a chocolate lab or a golden retriever or something like that. You know, that's a companion. Pit bull, you know, that's made to protect people in the hood or something. You know, that's made to fetch you the squat there.
Anybody that has, you know, 20 cents worth of brains knows that pit bull is probably one of the best dogs you can ever have. They raised my kids. So,
you know what the thing is? You're from the South and you don't know dog shit from on the wall.
Oh, let's not do that.
That's okay. Sounds to me he's still hitting the Bud Light.
I ain't trying to hurt your feelings, man. I'm just saying you ain't too damn smart there. You know, Pitbull, that shit dog.
Well, you know.
Now, they're a good judge of character anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, does anybody else have a question for between Rocky and Anthony, Dave?
I need to get hold of you after the show, Marco, and get Richard's number.
Yeah, I'm gonna, in fact, I'll give you a call.
I wanted to ask Dave about what the deal was with the little short Bigfoot thing. It's really starting to get starting to happen. What was the deal, Dave? I heard you talking about it, but I didn't get the absolute specifics. How close did you say that the lady got to it?
She got around 15 feet, maybe even just a foot or two closer.
Wow, that's pretty close.
Yeah, and she came from behind. This thing never turned around and showed its face. I was really interested to hear what it, you know, looked like in the face. She said she saw it grab dead grass, start eating it, you know, and then it just started flipping around. You know, she still couldn't see its face too well. It was getting, you know, the sun was really, well, the dusk was coming in pretty deep, but she said it was just plain, just like you'd see in like Animal Planet, a little chimp running around, you know. And when she got real close to it, that's when that stink came up, you know, and it seemed like it used it like a protective measure. And we told her later on that the gal, it's probably a good thing she didn't get too close to it, because the parents were probably right there in the bushes somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking, and, you know, like Christian was talking about, he'd had the viewing of that little one there, but he had seen a big one a few times prior to that, and then all of a sudden, I guess, or maybe the, you know, I don't know what the deal was, but all of a sudden he was talking about this little small one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, man, Hope, you know, he needs to be careful, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Even these little ones, we don't know their defensive potential. You know, that I would imagine they'd be extremely strong, even for this one that was supposedly 3 foot tall. I wouldn't want to deal with it. It probably could rip your arm off.
You know what a chimpanzee can do to a person, you know.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there somebody else that called in? It seems to me like there's been three or four sightings of the little
small one.
Yeah, yeah. In the last couple of weeks, I've had, in fact, there's quite a few that haven't even been on the program. But Christian last week, said that's what he saw was a small, looked like a baby Bigfoot. A couple other people had called me concerning the same thing.
Marco, didn't Richard have an encounter with a little small one?
Yes, he did.
So there's a good chance that they're dropping youngins about this time of year.
What we don't know, Rocky, is we don't know if they're – see, there's some of these things that are small, and they appear to be like, I guess like a midget, right?
Okay.
A dwarf.
I'm wondering if it's
– you know, a dwarf kind of a creature. But then there's others that are small that are like, you know, infant-type stuff.
Yeah,
so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Oh, this eyewitness of the mother, actually, that related to her daughter – told her too that it did make like chimp-like sounds, and that's why she thought it was like an escaped chimp or something. You know,
sure.
That's what the lady wasn't even afraid. She says, "Oh wow, it was just doing those noises." You know, and usually that's something that you'd hear like in a zoo or something.
You know, that's a false security too, because if they knew what a little chimp can do, they can chew your face off like nothing.
Marco, it's scary to think about what a chimp can do. You
know? Yeah.
Wow.
And I think usually this is getting off Bigfoot a little bit off the subject, but I think the bigger chimps are the ones that are the most dangerous. You know, as they mature, that just something goes in their brain that just doesn't click anymore with just kicking back. But it's you'll notice even on TV, a lot of the chimps they show, like on shows, TV and everything, are smaller ones. So I think once they really turn into a certain maturity level, they just can't be worked with anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they showed some of those that's done so much damage. The people were in the 160-pound range.
Yeah.
But still, if you compare that 160-pound, 4 foot tall, 3.5, maybe 3.5 foot, 4 foot tall chimpanzee versus a 7 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot Sasquatch or Bigfoot. I mean, it's just kind of like, hello.
Yeah.
No. Well, the 165-pound chimp against a 350-pound man. That 350-pound man's in deep doo doo.
There's no fight.
Well, I tell you, in several of the instances where we've had encounter experiences and things that had happened, if you can imagine a 2-inch branch twisted around, how much power does it take to do that?
Oh,
and these things, tree twists are a common thing out there in the woods.
We've seen that, Marco, on our brake trees where there's been big stuff ripped down.
It's amazing. It has to be a hand, something with a hand that does that.
Something to hold it. Another thing, too, Marco, like when me and Rocky were up there at Lake Dead and those rocks came from up on the hillside up there, those rocks were big. I'm talking about big as a softball-sized stone that were thrown into that lake.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, me and Rocky both, we consider ourselves pretty hefty. We can do some stuff now. We went up there and got some rocks half that size and couldn't even throw them to the lake.
Oh, I understand. We've had instances where guys have had like bowling ball-sized rocks coming, and they couldn't even see where they were coming from. And they just went, whing, smash right into the mud in the lake and stuff. Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff where you say, well, no man could have thrown that stuff.
That's right.
Especially
as far as it was thrown. Some of these things were thrown pretty far.
You know, way over, 100 yards. You're throwing a rock the size of a softball more than 100 yards, professional baseball players can't throw, a baseball.
God, I know. It's amazing.
It's crazy. 400
feet.
Yeah,
some of these things.
It's crazy. But, there's definitely some power involved there, even if, if you don't want to believe in the creature itself, what's happening.
Oh, man, I tell you.
I mean, the tree twisting like today and the stuff that me and Rocky have experienced that we've seen that's happened, it's like, man, how.
Well, the thing that amazes me the most is how something that big, that strong, that we're personally acquainted with can be so stealthy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when that thing come and stole my cuties, stole my cooler, I'm getting mad again. When it stole my cuties, it wasn't 8 feet from where I was sleeping. And I've heard of something.
I know. And a lot of other people, you know, where they've been out camping and they've been to the tents and everything. And right outside the tent, they've actually poked the head with a gun.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, Marco. It's kind of frustrating to the point where it's almost aggravating that, you know, like me and Rocky both, we kind of pride ourselves on being so stealthy and getting around in the woods and stuff. And this dude's putting it on us.
But
we're not being able to win, and it's not cool.
And yet they can, you know, they can sound like a freight train going through the brush.
Oh,
you know,
gosh, I'm telling you.
You know, when we went out there and we was tracking that thing, and we tracked it in a big circle, and when we completed that circle, we found that there's footprints that was following our footprints.
We were counted.
We've never had anything do that to us before. And,
amazing.
So, you know, it's, and, you know, the thing of it is, we won't ever have to worry about it sneaking up on us and catching us unarmed. But at the same time, you know, just the sneaking up part is what worries me more than anything. Because, you know, they're fast. They're good shots with a rock, apparently.
Evidently, I mean, I couldn't take a sandstone like that upside the head. It'd be all over. I'd be seeing birds.
Well, you know, I had a guy in Minnesota about a year and a half ago. He was on a deer stand, and he's wearing his vest and all the other stuff with it. And had one of these things throw a rock, and it hit him right in the side between the chest and the side. And it left a welt, I mean a big welt, and knocked the wind out of him. And he was wearing all his clothes and everything. You know what I'm talking about, right? The
right,
vest,
yes,
and the, all the other stuff.
Sure.
And, boy, I want to tell you that it was pretty it was pretty hard thrown.
Well, Anthony, I was going to ask Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony, whereabouts are you at in Virginia? I stayed out on the eastern shore out there for a little while in Maryland, and I went to Virginia on the down, you know, on the eastern shore part of Virginia, down on the peninsula. But I've never been on the. I didn't do, you know, just crossing over in Norfolk there at the Bay Bridge Tunnel. About, you know, it's all about all I've ever been on the shore side.
Oh, I'm about 2.5 hours west from that tunnel, maybe 3 hours.
Oh, so you're more to the west side there on the, are you like by Danville?
Yeah, I'm in South Central, but I'm probably about maybe almost an hour northeast of Danville.
I see. I've been through Danville, you know, coming along the North Carolina border there, going to Norfolk across.
Right.
And that's some pretty wild territory out there. You wouldn't think it's so wild where they grow the Christmas trees and all that down through that hilly part there.
Mm.
It's pretty rugged in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
I can see that there would definitely be territory there for something. If it wanted to hide out, it could do it and not see, and you wouldn't see it.
Oh, yeah. There's no
doubt
about it.
Vantage points there where we were up high, up on the road there, and you can look across the landscape, and it's pretty... it looks pretty wild, you know. It's pretty rough, mountainous, like, you know. The eastern shore is all flat, but it's pretty hilly there. What I could see of it.
Well, when you get close to the Blue Ridge, man, it's a different story. It's
yeah, it's up and down. Up and down.
Well, you know where me and the Swede are. For the most part, if you can see 75 yards, you've just been real lucky. I mean, the brush is just, I mean, it's so thick out here,
timber
out where we go, that, you know, we've had situations where we've walked up on bears, we've walked up on hogs, and unless they're making noise, we don't know that they're there until we're there, too.
Right.
And anyhow, I just... You know, one of those things. We're careful. We're cautious.
It's funny you mention that because my first encounter was when I saw the two smaller ones, and I purposely was driving slow in my truck going to a work location where I've been having, you know, experiences. It took about a year before I had a sighting, but I knew something was in the area after contacting Marco, Bill, and Tom. And when I finally got my first sighting, that you know, I was, you know, every time I'm driving down that road, I was going real slow. I'm trying to be as quiet as I could be, and everything loose on the truck, outside the truck, I had it tight down. And really, it was just, you know, all the engine is smooth idling, it's real quiet, you know, it's not a diesel. And I just, and then when I came down, you know, that's when I had seen them at first because of the brush. I thought I was looking at a deer, but then the deer didn't run, and then I'm like, oh, it's probably a dog. And then the first pair of legs jumped, and then the second pair of legs jumped, and then I thought, oh, it ain't a dog or deer. Yeah. But I know what you mean about the thick brush and all. You know, I mean, you know, you can come up on them and you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, and I consider myself lucky. I know some other folks on the show, past guests, they've been just as lucky too to come up on, you know, Bigfoot and stuff. But even that sight that I had, it wasn't like, you know, I was there able to stare at them for a minute. You know, I mean, I saw them, then they saw me, and then they took off.
Right. Well, you know, where we've had our big encounters with stuff getting surprised is on the river. We'll go, you know, along them creeks.
On the river together.
We'll go along the rivers, and it'll just be all of a sudden you'll just come up over a rock or a wall or from behind some brush or something. There'll be something standing right there. You know, you're just, because they can't hear you because of water. You know, it's too noisy. And it's like, mm-hmm. Wow, man, I had a little face down with a pretty good sized black bear, and it's like, I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and we're like going, hmm. And he kind of a little stare off there, and you know, he decided that he'd go his way, and I kind of went mine. But, you know, we were riding four-wheelers down on the river, and our four-wheelers are quiet. We don't have no loud pops on there or nothing. We're cruising along there, me and Rocky and another kid, and that's when I had looked up ahead there, and I saw something big and black in the creek, and it stood upright and looked at us, and I went, wow. I stopped and was getting a good, you know, trying to focus in on it, get a good look at it, and it stood up and took two or three steps on two legs out of the creek and up into the brush. Well, you know, yeah, it could have been a black bear, but you know, I don't know about the black bears walking on 2 feet in the creek. You know, it's one of those things. And
are you talking about down there at the creek where we saw the footprint?
Yeah.
Well, there's no bears got claws. That footprint didn't have no claws on it.
Oh, I know it, Rocky. I know it. But I'm just saying, you know, a man could talk himself into it being a bear, but it wasn't no bear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, on the creek where it's noisy like that, that's where we see a lot of weird stuff sometimes because we have the advantage of not being heard. When that water's rolling, it'll come around, you know, and it's going down through them creeks, and it's just roaring like, you know, it's just, there's so much noise. You can't, you know, the critters can't hear you. And if they're there, they don't hear you until they can see you. And it's been a good advantage. We've taken advantage of that, haven't we, Rocky?
Oh, yeah.
Especially
that's a lot of times. Well, good guys, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing and your experiences and your Rocky and Swede. I think you had one heck of a trip. Anthony, keep hanging in there. By golly, those pictures were pretty good that
thank
guy
you.
Sent you. They're really nice.
Thank you.
And Dave,
real quick, just to say thanks to Rocky and Swede for being patient with that other guy.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened? I think he's when he's probably sober, he's probably a decent person because I talked to him when he was sober. But I think tonight they probably had a few too many.
I think
so. And sometimes people, when they have a few too many, are kind of opened and doing all kinds of silly things.
And I think that's what happened.
You know, that's one of those things. I've had pit bulls all my life. Me and the Swede both have. And, you know, it's kind of hard for us to sit and listen to, you know, somebody brag about mistreating one of them because they're good dogs. I mean, they're dogs.
Well, but, any animal, actually any animal,
yeah.
You know, that you have, I mean, you don't make it suffer.
No.
You normally...
Shoot them and eat them, but, you know, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, there's lots of cool folks, too, but there's lots of ignorant folks, too, you know. The same thing with dogs.
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
Marco,
well, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you all. I'm going to give you a call, Rocky, after the show here and get you Richard's number.
I'm glad to hear from you, too.
Okay.
You guys take care. Everybody out there, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Take care now. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, y'all.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're all together.